concerning self unto you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the word from your throne of grace by your Spirit into the hearts of the people. Directly, Lord, Father, that no flesh will glory in this place, that only Jesus will be magnified. And we thank you, Lord, because every deaf ear is open, and every blind eye is open, and every limb foot is healed. Father, we thank you, Lord God, because we continue to lift up as we're lifted up, Lord, even to the place that you designed us to be as kings and priests unto you, to reign on the earth as kings in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's take our seats. I was thinking this morning, I was very excited about Ashburnham. One of the two things that my highlight that I loved, I was so happy when I was excited about the, when I was teaching on the last Sunday and I stopped somewhere and the Lord came and continued from there. It was kind of an exciting thing, you know. You hear those things happening and the moves of the Spirit. The other thing there's so much space. The other thing that was quite exciting was when we did the prayer line and the prayer and the anointing service, and it was a prayer for healing. You see, we are depositing in our children something that is priceless in this place. One of the children, I think it was Tiffany, she came towards me for prayer for healing, and I said, "What's the problem?" She said, "My skin, I'm believing God for." And she started reading out scriptures. I'm standing on the following scripture. She was just reading out scriptures. You know, I said, "My God, my God." As in scriptures from the Old Testament, Isaiah scriptures, I mean, those scriptures that these are the things I'm standing on. I want you to agree with me regarding this. I mean, it was profound. I said, "Oh my God, this is what we are depositing in our children." So let's understand that we're doing great things here. The Holy Ghost is, I mean, it was, I was touched by it. I said, "Wow, at this age? My goodness." And I will give you thanks. Now let's go to the book of, first of all, read something here. And we're going to talk about meditation today. I will try not to recap. It's a condition of the previous messages, so I won't go back there on the website. Something here written, it says, in the United States, most people associate meditation with Eastern religions and worldwide. People think, such as Buddhism, Hinduism, but this is not correct at all. Meditation is a biblical practice which existed thousands of years before it became popular in other platforms or religions. The dictionary defines the word meditate as to dream up, to hatch, to think out. The initial word, the Hebrew word is haggai, which means to say the scriptures to yourself while consciously ignoring or shutting out everything around you. It means to say the scriptures to yourself while consciously ignoring or shutting out everything around you. The Latin word is called medicos, or medicine, means to cure or to heal. It's like eating food. So let's start this morning. That's just a burger. Let's go into why is the Holy Ghost saying we should talk about this process called meditation? Meditation. Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, and observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous and have good success." So it means that through the process of meditation, God uses His word, meditation His word, to make our way prosperous and have good success. Another translation says to deal wisely in the affairs of life. And I was thinking about it. Paul also told Timothy, he says, "Meditate on those things, give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all men." So it means that this is quite important. And he went further and said that when you do these things, if you take heed to these things, he said, you not only save yourself, but you also save those people who listen to you. So it brings salvation. It brings fruitfulness. I mean, in Psalm 1, it says that a man that meditates on the word of God will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings fruit in his season. I mean, that means it will result in fruitfulness. We're talking about fruitfulness. It says his leaves will not wither. That means you will not have a point where you are. It says his leaves will not wither. His leaves will not wither. And whatsoever he does will prosper. So it means that this must be something very important if the Bible can emphasize so much on it. So it means that we must know how to actually do it. And our translation says that these words are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. So, I mean, it is so important that we know how to do it because it has the benefits and the ways, I mean, and the things that we gain from it are so much that it is imperative as Christians to know and understand the practice of meditation on God's word. And I was just thinking, I said, God, why is it so important? He said, in the new covenant, really, that the essence of it, really, is that the Holy Spirit wants to get the truth of God's word into the hearts of people. And I said, so what's the essence of that? He said to me, he says, because out of the heart comes the thoughts. He says, out of the heart comes the thoughts. He says, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, adultery, fornication. So when the truth is implanted into the heart, the thoughts that will come out will be thoughts similar to what God thinks. That's what God was telling me. So understand that. So that is why we're going to take the time out to actually talk about this in details and in a practical way. It is so simple. It is so straightforward that you need to be overzealous to miss it. It's so straightforward. Right. Because, I mean, there's so much here, so we'll start from the basics. Now, so what happens here? Let's look at the story of the woman with the issue of blood. I know the story, so I will talk about the story. He said, this woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, she had an issue of blood. She had an issue in her life, a problem or a goal in her life. So that's why you cannot function with God without targets and goals. It won't work. You can't quantify things. It won't work. So you have to have goals, targets, things you're reaching out for in functioning with God. So this woman had an issue. She had a problem, an issue of blood, 12 years. And she had suffered many things of many physicians. I believe God put us through it there deliberately. And she says she spent all her money, and the doctors could not help her. And she was not even an inch better, but says she grew worse. So what God is saying is that, look, my word is the final authority. I mean, when everything else has failed, when medical science has failed, when money has failed, the word of God is the only guarantee that you will get what you want, and it's a guarantee. So he says she grew worse, and what happened? She heard about Jesus. So she heard about Jesus. She heard the word of God. She heard him. She heard about him, like someone coming to preach today, hearing about Jesus. Or you are listening to a tape. She heard about Jesus. And I'll just give you a summary that will go into it. And when she heard about it, it says she now said within herself, she framed out a confession. You see, that's why I say you must have a target. I mean, if you don't have a target, just float in the air. Listen. She framed out a confession based on what she heard about Jesus. She personalized it. See, in the things of God, you have to personalize it. If not, you'll be floating in the air, and you'll be deferring it, hope deferred. You have to personalize it and bring it into your own space. So she said, based on what she heard, Jesus has been healing people that are deaf. He has been doing that. He has been raising the dead. I don't even need to, my own issue of blood, it became small. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, get access to him, I shall be made whole. She said, if you go to the original Greek, she continuously said it. I believe strongly that she must have seen herself touching Jesus and receiving that thing. Because Jesus turned back and said, look, woman, your faith has made you whole. You see, let me say something here, because we're going to be, you see, if you look at the original, they said people were thronging on Jesus. God said that is similar to prayer. They were thronging on Jesus to the point of suffocation. That's what it says in the original Greek. That means they were desperate, they were thronging on him, Lord, they were to the point of suffocation. But only one person received the miracle. To the point of suffocation. And she didn't even throng on him that much. She just touched him. Because the prerequisites were there. Understand that. So, the meditation on God's word is so crucial that we must understand the process. So, how does it start? So, it starts with a goal, a challenge, a need, something in your life. See, we have to be practical with these things. We cannot gloss over our challenges. Let's not gloss over it. Let's put the challenge or the goal that is in front of us. Let us apply the Word of God, because the Word of God is the engrafted Word. That means the Word of God is designed to fit into situations. That's what it's designed to do. So let us understand. Let us not gloss over. Let us not. A man is having challenges in this area. Let him not be seeking for example, a man has financial challenges. Use the Word of God to solve that challenge. That's what I'm saying. Don't go and say you're looking for something else somewhere. Use it there. And inside that, you begin to develop confidence in the Word of God on a daily basis. So it's a practical thing. Understand that. If the marriage thing, put the Word of God and use it in that situation. So what does he do first? Like we said before, once it's taken long, he asks the Lord, Father, this challenge is there. I have this goal. I have this desire. You know, and I want you to understand that the desire is not faith. Some people think that a strong desire is not enough. Because you can desire something so much that you think, I'm in faith. No. But just have a strong desire. But you need to have the substance for that thing. That's what we're talking about here. So you go to God and ask him, Lord, open my eyes to see. Because the thing about meditation is that you are beholding with an unveiled face. You are beholding with an unveiled face simply means something, the Holy Ghost has opened up the word to you and you are seeing it. God has ministered a particular scripture to you regarding that thing and you are seeing it. That's all it means. On unveiled faith. That's what it means. And that is what the new covenant has come to do. God is saying that, look, what I've come to do, because the glory, the gospel, let me read a few scriptures. Very good. Second Corinthians. So I've said that the reason why this thing is happening is that God wants to put those laws in our hearts, and from that heart, thoughts will begin to come out. Okay? We'll see that now. So it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to 4, sorry. I'm going to chapter 4. I think from verse 4. So he comes to God. I said, look, this is the challenge. This is the situation. Open my eyes to see what you have written about it. So you're not, see, God will show me images. He said, look, this thing about meditation, the people of the world have taken it. It's just like you showed me the story of the Egyptians and Moses. He said they brought out serpents, right? Moses also brought out his serpent, but his serpent swallowed up their serpent. So they are practicing the thing in real time. They are practicing it, but they are using inferior material. So the problem is that they are luring us as Christians to fall into their trap and using the same material they are using. Well, we have the Word of God. We're trying to use positive science and positive thinking to generate results. Well, we have the incorruptible word that created all things. The good thing is that let us go back and see. So the first step, really, revelation is the first step. Revelation of God's word is the first. We're not like the world that views positive science. Revelation is nothing happens in Christianity without revelation knowledge. And that revelation is from the Word of God. That is where it starts from. Everything about your life starts with revelation knowledge. Let's understand that. So we're not like the world, because the revelation knowledge is the superior material that God will use to cause that thing to come to pass in your life. And you cannot play on the same field as they are playing. Listen, you cannot take words from their mind and begin to generate results. You will end up in a different place. We're talking about revelation from the scriptures it is written. that the Holy Ghost shows you. That's where it starts from. So let's go there. It says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So it's easy. If a man is having challenges in his finances, ask God, he will show you. It's not a difficult thing. Lord, simple prayer. Open the eyes of my heart that I might see what is written of me regarding this situation. 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. He says we understand how this process works, how the new covenant works. So we are not involved in doing things the way the world does it. We don't need to cheat. We don't need to do that. Let me give you an example of what happened. As I'm talking, I'll give examples. Listen, this thing is serious. Because I've been applying. I started my job. So they didn't give me a car parking permit. I haven't even told my wife this one. It just happened. They give me a parking permit. And they give every single other doctors in my level, at my level. They didn't give me. I don't know what happened here. I said, I have favor now. They have favor. They didn't give me. So, they were telling me, do this, do that, do that. If I could say I should falsify it and tell them that I'm sharing the campus. I said, I can't do that. I'm a child of God. I said, I know you can't lie. They were saying, I know you can't. They were saying, I know you can't lie. But this one is, I said, this one is not different. I think just this man, this one is not different. So what happened one day? I went into the office. Listen, as I walked there, the secretary said, ah. And I said, let us try one more time. So she tried. She put the things in. She said, ah, let me do something. She just did something. I didn't realize what she was doing. So she now sent the email to the chap. When I look at what she had done, she had put, let's say I was talking to another house, she had put me in another hospital and changed it so that it would look as if I went to that hospital and came back to this hospital. So you're walking on two sides. So the man now saw it. As soon as she did this, the said, look, you cannot take the parking permit based on what she had done. It's not possible. It's little, but it's significant in the things of God. I said, okay, Lord, what do I do? I said, okay, Lord, let him accept my parking permit based on another reason. The guy just replied, blah, 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 I will accept it based on the thing she sent to me. I said, okay. He said, send your opinion. I said, no, I can't. I'm sorry, I can't accept it. He said, why? Because it is false. It is falsified. That's what I'm talking about. So when you understand, I don't need that to get it. I know what I will do to get it. You understand? So you begin to operate on a different level. You don't need to struggle not to cheat when you understand this principle. So it now says here, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So that is where the crux of the matter is. It says the light of the glorious gospel. So the veil was there, and Jesus Christ came to remove that veil. So that gospel is always glorious. So whatever God shows you, note that it's always glorious. It's better than anything you could ever try to do yourself. It's better than any scheme or maneuver you might try to achieve yourself. It's better than anything any human being can try to do for you. So it's better to wait and hear and see what the word of God has given you or promised you in that particular situation. So it's a glorious gospel, and it comes to you when you ask God. So what happens basically, he opens the veil, and what happens is that that light or the scriptures is quickened unto you by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he says, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth first. He will not speak of himself, so he will speak, and his thought is that he will show you. So that's the process of meditation. So when you take that scripture, what do you do with it now is the next thing. That is where most people have received scriptures, and, you know, the thing about it, God was saying that when that word comes unto you, you have to now begin to do the work with it. When that word comes to you, when you hear that word, you have to behave like the woman with the issue of blood. First of all, you have your scriptures, you write it down. Listen, you take the scriptures, it is a studious process. You take the scriptures, this is how you practice it. That God has given you, it might be 1, 2, or 3, you write it out on a sheet of paper separately. You now draft out a confession based on that scripture. And you see, what I discovered is the confession you write out will begin to vary with time as you declare it. It begin to vary as you declare it. So you write out your confession. So in my house, I have my two. I have the scriptures, and I have the confession based on the scriptures. Right. That's the first step. Okay? Write it out. Write it out so you can carry it everywhere you go, because you can't be opening your Bible sometimes everywhere. Write it out so you can carry it. I carry it with me everywhere I go. So put it there. Now, the process of meditation, we'll talk about a few things in meditation. It says in Joshua 1:8, there's an organ you require to meditate, which is the mouth. The reason why you say it is that there are two entrance channels where things get into your heart, which is your eyes and your ears. But the truth about the matter is that when you begin to hear things for a while, the Holy Ghost will take it and paint a picture in your mind's eye. We'll come to that. So the mouth is the primary organ for meditation. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. I want to show you something. So my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my saying. Attend means to, like I said in Ashburnham, it's like when you are in a restaurant and the waiter is attending to you. He's there to serve you at your beck and call. So he's saying that what you should do with the word of God, you should stay with that word and serve that word even during that process. Listen, give yourself a 10-day project. Give yourself a 10-day. It took 10 days for the countenance of the Hebrew boys to be fairer than the countenance of the Egyptians, because they were feeding on a certain substance which the other guys didn't have access to. Give yourself 10 days of this process. Listen, okay, let's go on. It says, now, incline your ear unto my saying. Incline your ear unto my saying. That means put that scripture on your mouth. The first thing is attend to it. That means be diligent about it. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So the first thing in the process of meditation is the process of diligence. The same way you wake up every morning and go to work. Put it as a sign. Say, look, this is my walk in the spirit. This is my spiritual walk in this thing. This is my spiritual service or sacrifice. So you put diligence there. Then it says, incline your ear. The next thing, you put it on your mouth. You put it on your mouth. And you begin to mutter it to yourself. That word meditation means to mutter, to murmur, and to imagine. So you put it on your lips. I'm going somewhere here. I'll come back in details to that. Say, let them not depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So you are having that thing. You are reading that thing to yourself on a daily basis. And the minimum requirement is day and night from the scriptures. Joshua 1:8, day and night. Psalm 1, day and night. It's day and night. And I will show you that if you want the accelerated process in Deuteronomy, there's a process. Let's talk about the intensity first. Let's go step by step. So the requirements. Deuteronomy, let's go there. Let me show you that, because this thing is very serious. Deuteronomy. From verse, no, Jeremiah 11, sorry. Jeremiah 11 from verse 16. So, the mouth is the organ, and the timing is day and night. Because science has shown that, look, when you wake up first thing in the morning, your subconscious mind, your conscious mind is not very alert. So anything you say seeps down quicker into your heart. And last thing before you go to bed, the things you say seeps down quickly. So the Bible is exact. The Bible is ahead of science. They're just discovering it. That's why I say, as you're waking up, I'm muttering. I just have some heat. I just have some heat. As I'm waking up, as I'm going to bed, the last thing is, I just have some heat. I'm muttering. In fact, I will save you all these bad, bad dreams you've been dreaming of Jesus. He says, take it to yourselves, Deuteronomy 16, 11, 16, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Goodness, this is so deep. I'll go on. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens, and there be no rain, and the land and all that. He now said, I want to show you, we're talking about the timings now. So therefore, you shall lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them upon the frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children. Now, there it is. Speak of them. The spirit said, what's the position for meditation? I just believe it's any comfortable position. This is practical teaching now. Speak of them when you sit in your house. Listen. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you're going to bed, and when you rise up first thing in the morning. So it can be a continuous process. As in when I'm leaving the gate, as soon as I open the gate, the muttering starts. After my morning muttering, I start muttering. Scriptures regarding what God has promised me. I begin to mutter it to myself. I begin to say it to myself over and over again as I'm walking down the street. So you see me doing like this, it's not that I'm not answering you, but I'm muttering things. You know, I come back, I'm muttering things. You know, and last thing at night, so this is the minimum requirement, but sometimes you might need a concentrated period. Like when you're having an exam, if there's an issue, in your life, you have to increase the dose. You have to do it, it's just like when you're having an exam now. Maybe you sit down, it's not like normal school term. You sit down for those 6 weeks or 3 weeks, and you do much more than what you normally do. Mm-hmm. So it's a serious thing. So we'll do that. So the time, we'll talk about the timing. So minimum requirement, day and night. Start within the morning. There's no condemnation, you know. And last thing at night, and the time period should not be, it mustn't be prolonged. You know, just read the scripture, mutter it yourself, and go to bed. Wake up in the morning, first thing you do, read the scriptures, mutter to yourself and go to bed. Right. Okay. And what is muttering? When I say muttering, what do I mean? Let me give an example. For example, one of the muttering. Let me use the current example that I'm muttering. Okay. Regarding my job, there's something I'm muttering. Because the scripture God showed me was in Daniel chapter. Okay. Okay, Daniel chapter 1. So the phase I'm in is the second phase, verse 20. So whenever the king consulted them in any matter regarding wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times better, more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. So I said, that's what the scripture for my career, my job. So that's the one God gave me. So I said, in the morning, I muttered to myself. I say, in everything required, in fact, let me say the exact way it is. My fault. I say to myself in exact terms so that from those scriptures, I conned out a confession. So I read it in the morning. After reading it, I make the confession from my lips. So I mutter it to myself. So when I get to the car park again, I park my car, I open it again. And I read it to myself, and I began to see the effect. No. This thing is almost like you begin to see, this is what is happening according to what was written. You know, you begin to see, this is what's happening. Things begin to evolve as that thing is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. So let me show you what I say. So this is a practical teaching, which might take a while, but we give God thanks. Okay. And note the tense. It's in past tense. So you have to understand how you word your confession. It's not in the future, it's in past tense. Because God calls things that be not as though they were. So in the beginning of what I coined out, I won't say, I'll just go to the last one. But how I started was that I've written all the things that I desire for 2017. I wrote it a long time ago. And I start by saying, I sit down now today in my study on the 31st of December 2017 with a sense of satisfaction. Are we in 2017? We're not in December yet. With a sense of satisfaction and deep gratitude to God for this year, 2017, was the best year of my life personally, the ministry, my family, my finances, and my career. I'll go to the last part I was talking about now. So I said that based on that scripture now, I said, you caused me to excel in my career, and in the space of 1 year, my influence at King's College has spread as I brought practical solutions to people's lives, which I came in contact with. And I solved every departmental problem, and I brought improvements to the department. It was clear that since my coming, things had improved dramatically, and I was sought out by everyone, and people deferred to me for solutions to their problems. So based on the word that God had given me, I drafted out a confession. I've been adjusting it as time goes on. So in the process of time, last week or so, weeks ago, someone came to me. She said she had a problem. So I just sat down with her. Let's go for tea. So I sat down. I was discussing with her. So when we finished, she said, oh, thank God I sat down and talked with you. I know what exactly I ought to do. The next day, I was sitting with someone. It was last week. And he said, they've told me that you're the one, you're the expert in this area. You know, and it's not as if I've done so many. The way it is, it's just a skill that I acquired. I've only done one of that thing. You know, and they've blown it up to the extent that they say I'm the expert, that I'm the one that's going to initiate the whole project. So things begin to happen in your environment based on that thing you are declaring. So when you begin to know that, you say, there's no need to start trying to push any agenda. There's no need to start trying to force your way through things. All you have to do, really, is to sit down with God's word in your bedroom and begin to do the things needful. Okay, so that's an example. And I will say something here. When I saw this, take it to yourself that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods. Take it to yourself is a very, very powerful statement. That your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods. This is part of the process of meditation, and worship them. Now, let's go to the book of Matthew. I want to show you how, because out of all the practices of the Jews that believe, or the Jewish rabbis believe that the art of meditation is the deepest of all the services, because everything emanates from it. Because it says in Romans 1, it says, be not conformed to this world, but it says, I beseech you by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So through the process of meditation, the Holy Ghost will take those things and imprint it in your heart, and that is the only way you can fulfill God's purpose. So you believe that every other thing emanates from this process. So if you can understand this process in real terms, every teaching that you receive, you will pass it through the process and result in the manifestation. That's the essence of it. It is just like they will teach you things about marriage, teaching about giving, teaching about childbearing. There's been different teachings. So the process is like the conveyor, but you pass it through the process of meditation to bring an outcome. So I teach you how the engine actually works. That's what I do. So let's go to that place. I just want to show you this. Matthew. Chapter 6. You see, remember that scripture, it says, take it to yourself that you not be deceived in your heart. I'll show you through scriptures there, and turn aside and serve other gods. You know, if you look at Joshua 1:8, let's put it up here. Joshua 1:7. I will use this screen a lot. Joshua 1:7, so that I can show what the Holy Ghost is trying to highlight. Because if you understand that this is your true service to God, honestly, this thing is your service to God. Look, it says here, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it from the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. It says here, in this place, it says, don't turn aside to serve other gods and worship them. This is very deep. So when you have a situation and the dominant thought signifies who you are serving, Let me show you something. Go to the book of Matthew. Let's put it here, please. Six. I'll show you some things. I'll show you some things. I want to show the vital Matthew chapter 6. It says, now therefore, no man can serve two masters, from verse 34. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And preceding that, the next verse, what did he say? How do you serve God and mammon? He said, you serve mammon by take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall... So when you are taking thought and worry, you are serving mammon. The way to serve God is to take God's word regarding it and put it... See, this is how you serve God. Put it upon your lips till the point where the dominant thought becomes the thought of God. That's how you serve God. Let's go to the book of Romans. I want to show you something. You need to see this thing. Romans. Romans chapter 8. When I say, how do you serve God? Say, present your body. This is your true spiritual service. And only present your body is by the renewing of the mind. This is very, very serious. Romans chapter 7. I'll be here. And I will take you somewhere again. You see this. Use my Bible. Romans 7. I'll use my Bible. I think the last few verses. So understand that. That's why Hagin used to say that the worst thing actually is worrying. Because you are basically taking certain thoughts and meditating upon certain thoughts. That's all you're doing. The worst thing, that's what you're doing. Basically, you are muttering over it. What shall we eat? You're saying. Let me show you this. Because I had problems with it, that's why I'm saying it. I'm confessing. Now, look at this. Romans chapter 7. Verse 21. See, I find out a law that when I will do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that with a mind I serve the law of God. That's how you serve God. That's how you serve God. The true service of God. The mind, you serve the law of God. Go to the book of, when you get to read Romans chapter 1. That's how you serve God. It says, I beseech you, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove. It says, this is your true spiritual service. Let me show you one more. You need to see this. That's what he says, God. Okay, let's go on to chapter 8. Verse 5. For they that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that after the spirit mind the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See, this is the vessel. This is the service of God. That's why it says, look, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, this is where the warfare is. It says there are thoughts and things or reasoning patterns that are in fighting or in opposition to the knowledge of Christ. And the weapons of your warfare, the place where you do it, It's a process of meditation. We're just talking about this first part of meditation. You are casting down those imaginations. You want to bring everything in subjection to the Lordship of Jesus. That's what you're saying. So you must, your thoughts must come and bow to the Lordship of Jesus, because I will worship the Lord my God only, and Him only will I serve. How do you serve God? How do you serve God really, really, in the truth of the matter? So he says, don't turn to it from the right hand or to the left. If you go to Joshua 1:7. And this scripture says, don't turn to it from the right hand in Deuteronomy or the left hand to serve other gods. Mammon, what shall we eat? Worry, what shall we eat? It's the service with your mind. That's what God said. Look at this covenant. These people have been serving in slavery too much. They've been serving other gods. Now let us go to the root of the matter. Let us go into their hearts and write those laws so that the thoughts will be thoughts that serve me. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So let's understand this. So Christianity is not a religion as well. It is a concrete thing where if men understand this, we'll take over London. No, let me ask you, we will take over. See, when we understand this, and we understand the power, that is not one man, that is the power of unity, which we'll talk about next week in prayer. See, look. Four men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, changed the king's word in the city because they understood something. See, we will take over the city for Jesus. No. This is, you know, it's understanding. Four men. You say, 120 disciples turned the whole world upside down. They understood certain things, and they understood the power of unity. And once they combine those two, nothing will stop us. We'll do this meditation, then we'll come together in prayer to generate the power as a body. We'll talk about that next week. Let's focus on this. So when the word comes, remember, let me read this to you so we can see how strong this thing is. Proverbs chapter 4. He talks about it in three places. Don't turn to the right or to the left to serve other gods. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, 27. It says, turn not to the right hand or to the left hand. It says it in three places. Don't turn to the right hand. So make the word. Don't allow the thoughts of the world system or the worry to take over. Don't serve the enemy with those thoughts. Serve only God. Now, so when the word is opened up unto you, I need to highlight another point here because this is important. I will take my time. We'll have to finish today. It says there in that place, it said, or you deceive your own heart. You saw it there. That's good. Let me read to you. In that Deuteronomy. It's very important we get this, because we need to get this right. Deuteronomy chapter 11. It says that, take it to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside. See, if you go to James, let's go there. I want to show you something. Because it's so important. James chapter 1. So I open the many scriptures because it is a teaching. James chapter 1. I love the Bible because they explain themselves. Scriptures explain themselves clearly. James chapter 1. It says, but whosoever looketh into the parable of liberty and continues therein, verse 25, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seems to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart. See the scripture? It says, but deceiveth his own heart. We saw it in Deuteronomy as well. What is he saying there? What is he saying there? God is saying, look, you cannot hold between two. You cannot say today, God has met or supplied all my needs, and tomorrow you carry your other thought. Because you are feeding the ears, it's going into your heart. The heart is getting mixed messages. Today you say, by the stars I'm healed. Tomorrow you say, I'm sick. Today you say, God has supplied all my needs, according to his riches in glory. Tomorrow you say, I'm suffering. You are deceiving your heart. The impulse is going in and causing confusion there. You can't say two things. You can't substitute. That's what he's saying there. Right. So, when the food is laid open, the word has come to you. It's like David said, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, or in the face of that challenge, or in the presence of that goal I desire. He's put the table, he has given you the food, he has put the word there. If there's food in front of you and you don't eat it, nothing happens. You can look at the rice. Ah, this rice is nice. The meat is red. It's jollof rice. It's nice. Ah, this is nice. Oh, this word is beautiful. Oh, God gave me the word. Ah! And you don't eat. Take your spoon and put it in your mouth. You're just looking at it. Ah! He promised me. Ah! Yeah, one has gone. Ah! He promised me. Second year has gone. Ah! He promised me. Ah! There's a good promise. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words became. What is the process of eating? That's what we call meditation. So you put it on your lips, like I said. You sit down in the privacy of a place where there's no disturbance. It says you consciously do this. I begin to meditate on it. God has supplied all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, that need, you must bring it into your space. God has supplied it in general. Therefore, the need of 10,000 pounds has been met in the name of Jesus. You sit down there and begin to mutter it to yourself. You shut out, you mutter to the point where the environment fades. It enters into you and you enter into that word. You begin to see yourself inside the scriptures. That's the key. This is not mind science. Listen. You are seeing yourself inside the scriptures as you say it. We'll continue next week. Time has gone. You are seeing yourself inside the scriptures. That's what happened to T.L. Osborne. He said he went to preach. He failed. God told him, come. After waiting on God. He was reading the Bible. He was seeing Jesus healing people. First time. Until he began to see himself inside the word, being the healer. The thing exploded. He saw himself laying hands on the sick and they getting up. He saw himself doing those things. So once you put those things on your lips and begin to mutter, the Holy Spirit is there. His work, according to... Let's go there. Let's go there. We'll look at it. I won't rush it. 1 Corinthians. Let's go to Romans 8 first. I'll show you something. I mean, Hebrews chapter 8. So you're eating the thing now. I know in eating, the invisible things are clearly seen by the things that are made. Your voluntary action is to take that thing. All he wants you to do is to put it on your lips and mutter it and give that discipline and be diligent about it. I mean, you can't write it on your heart. He writes it on your heart. You can't control your digestive process. Are you the one that controls how you do not control how your gullet moves or how the food. Something takes over. The spirit takes over. So the involuntary mechanisms take over and cause the food to digest and breaks it into usable forms where you can use. So as you begin to mutter in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, he's the one that takes those words and begins to write them on the tables of your heart to usable forms. And what are the usable forms? We'll see it. You begin to see the images and the understanding comes to you on how to get... Let me not rush. Let me not rush. So the usable forms. And the usable form, what is the usable form? Understanding. Knowing what to do. And Jesus knew what he would do. So that is what happens at the end point of it. See, one thing I will say, a few things here. Let me, I think I should end it here. What Jesus said, look, you don't have to know how it will happen. You don't have to, in terms of meditation, I'll say a few things. I'm not going to do the practice yet. You don't have to take your condition. I was making a big mistake. Very big. God showed me this week. Don't take the condition of your environment into that place of meditation. The place of meditation is where only you and the revelation of God's word sit. That means you are interacting so deeply with Jesus that he becomes so tangible. It's a very serious thing. The thing, it changes from general thing to you and Jesus. It is deep. It goes beyond even meeting the need. As you enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit. So it says, don't take your condition. For example, let me say. For example, I'm believing God for, let's say, 400 people in the church. I was saying God. So, I was saying this, I've not counted This is between me and you. I counted the seats that will fill this hall. I said it's 65 seats now. So I don't have belief for 65. I changed the confession, okay, 65, let's fill the hall. So I said, look, you're making a mistake. You are carrying the condition of your company. You are carrying the condition of the environment into the place of meditation. No. You are limiting your mind.
Yeah.
The presence of is blocking what I have in store for you. Don't forget about this. What I show you as you meditate, don't shy away from it. If it's 400 I showed you, stay with 400. The 400 will trigger. I will say, when that image is fully formed, it will trigger the necessary things on the earth to cause it to come to pass.
Yeah.
It's like you're on the, it's like in your office. Your office is making 1.2 million, for example, and you want a salary of, they say there are 10 of you, and you want a salary of 300,000. Only you, are you the only person there? You know, so the mind will say, you calculate the salary, this is the total income of the office. How can I believe for 300,000 when I'm not even the most senior? If you're meditating on the word of God and the Lord shows you that, stay with it. It will trigger something on the outside by the Spirit. It's not you that is doing it. So don't go with the condition of your environment or the external conditions into that place. It is pure revelation. It is pure revelation. This is the Spirit of God interacting with you. I'm talking about things that eyes have not seen, things that ears have not heard, things that have not entered into the heart of man.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're talking about here. So let's understand this. I was making a mistake terribly. I went to repent for God. Father, we'll give you that. We'll stop here. We'll continue next week. But look, we're going to do the actual act of meditation next week. The act. What you do. How you do, you sit down there. You pray in the Spirit. See, this thing is so exact that when you've gotten the image and you sit down praying in the Spirit, you are getting instruction. So prayer becomes exciting. See, I practice this thing, the limited one I've done. I've seen the effect. You know, so I get so excited because I know this thing definitely produces results. In 10 days' time, when you walk into your office, you say, there's something here. There's something that's happened here. Something happened. Your countenance has changed. What is it? Father, we give you. We'll continue next week. Father, we give you thanks. I thank you for your word. We ask by the power of the Spirit, you teach us, Lord. You strengthen us, Lord God, to practice these things. Thank you, Father, for Christ alone is glorified. We thank you because we know that you are creating champions and leaders in this place that will go out and shake this nation for Jesus Christ. We know that. We give you thanks for the privilege of to be part of this body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The other thing I want to say is, what we want to do, the prayer meetings, I was discussing with, and I think that's the way we should go. You know, people have needs. People have things in their lives. And so a session of our prayer meeting, I want to turn it to praying for specific things. You see, we're not joking here. It says they had all things in common. No man lacked anything. It was the power of the corporate. So when people are meditating on their private things, they will come together. It's okay, tell me, what is the scripture you want us to pray? We agree with you, and we'll pray it as a body, and we'll destroy, see, as a body, the church, will destroy that thing. It's a church now. It's the body of Christ, the highest authority on the earth. People are trying to push individual things too much. You know? And I think it's because, and then let me not go there. We'll talk about it in private. Father, we give you thanks.